Good evening, everybody. It is so nice to be back after a couple week delay of learning together on Thursday night. And I thank everyone for joining us this evening. I'd like to thank Yaakov and Penina Warman for generously sponsoring tonight's shiur, just because he's a good guy. They're a great couple. And as hopeful we are for them, that the house continues to be built quickly and with mazel and bracha.
We're paying to build it slow.
The longer he's here, we're enjoying their company. And that goes, you know, without saying for Hesh, but for us as well. So we thank you very much for your friendship and for your sponsorship. The last time we were together in this room was actually February 6th, 2000, Thursday night before Parshas Bishalach. 2020, what did I say?
2000.
Yeah, not 2000. It was a long week. I wasn't even dreaming about Thursday Night Live then. 2020, just a week before, or 2 weeks before, you know, the world shut down. This year was, if you remember, you don't remember, on Az Yashir, Mechilas Avonos, we had the meat pizzas from Fireside. If you remember, people were actually not sure if they should touch the pizza, not touch the pizza, because we had heard about this thing floating around called COVID, and if I touch the pizza, and the chef mit, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, we've been able to have multiple shiurim in the social hall. We'll be back there next time with the Shav Brachos tonight, and that's why we're in here, so I thank you for your patience. One scheduling note is our next shiur will be 3 weeks from tonight. It's the Thursday before Purim, a week before Purim. It's March 10th. That'll be a shiur. Some good stuff planned. So mark that down on your calendar, and if you would like to sponsor, please reach out to me. I'd like to discuss tonight a bracha. It's in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, and I believe, I'm not going to take a show of hands, that many people don't say, and I want to understand why people, some people, I shouldn't assume anything, but some people don't say this bracha, and why maybe we should, we could, and we have a lot to gain from that bracha, and that's the bracha of Hamapil. Now, Kriya Shma L'Amita, there is so much material, that'll have to be in another shiur, we'll touch upon it a little bit, but there's a bracha called Hamapil, and I'll tell you the truth, when I first heard of this bracha, like many things I first heard of when we went to Israel for the year, I couldn't believe. It was like another bracha. There's more to do. There's so much to do, so much to say. I'm in bed already. Why am I making a bracha before I go to sleep? And researching this bracha and understanding what it is, I think it's quite fascinating, both from a perspective of halacha and lumdus, and a perspective of Jewish thought and understanding as well. And we'll try to discuss as well the notion of sleep in Judaism. Is sleep a bracha or a klala? Is it a good thing, sleep? We get to rest? We get to allow. God didn't need to create sleep. God could have made us that we don't... He's God. Because bracha could have created the bria that they don't need 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep. He could have had it that we put our head. He could have been any way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world. So was sleep a bracha for us, or maybe it's a klala? How much more can we accomplish if we didn't need 7 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, 9 hours of sleep? We could accomplish so much. How do we review sleep? Is sleep a bidyeved? There's a certain, you know, macho feeling in yeshiva by guys how little you could sleep. I think that extends itself to adolescence and the teenage years. They want to go to sleep, and at a certain point they realize that they actually don't want to stay up late, but they want to go to sleep, and they can't wait to go to sleep. How do we view sleep in, like, what's the perspective on sleep? And I think it ties in to this bracha of Hamapil. I'd like to discuss this evening. If you take a look in the, again, it's the first page of the sources, page 3. Still haven't figured that out. I start with the bracha. It's labeled the source in the Gemara. This is the bracha from a siddur. I have it here in Hebrew and English. This is found in the siddur after Ma'ariv. After Ma'ariv, you have Aleinu. You have Sfiras Omer is printed in the siddur. In some siddurim, Kiddush Levana is there. In some siddurim, it's after Motzei Shabbos. And then you have Kriya Shma L'Amita and Hamapya. And this is the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So it's a real bracha. Most say it like this, with Shem Umalcha. So it's a real bona fide bracha. The Mishneh Berurah lists this as one of the 100, the Mishneh Berurah, it's the Beis Yosef, one of the 100 brachas. We've learned the obligation to say 100 brachas every day. Hamapil is towards the top of that list. There's Mayriv, Shema, Berchas Kriya Shema, and Shemun Esrei, and Hamapil. So it's a bona fide bracha. Hamapil Chevle Shena Al Enai, God who casts the bonds of sleep upon my eyes, Usnuma Alafapai, and slumber on my eyelids. Then we have a request here at Samafanacha, Hashem Elokai Elokai Abasai, let it be your will, Shetashki Veni L'Shalom, I should lie down in peace, Besami Deni L'Shalom, I should stand up in peace, Val Yivahaluni Rayonai V'Chalamos Raim, and bad ideas, dreams, motions, thoughts, shouldn't confound me. Usihimi Tasi Shleim Elofanacha, my bed should be full, we'll discuss what that means a little bit later, V'Ha'er Enai, illuminate my eyes, pen ishan hamaves, lest I die in sleep. Ki ata hameir liishon basayin, because you're the one that illuminates the pupil of the eye. Baruch ata Hashem hameir laolam kulo bechvodo. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, who illuminates the entire world with glory. And what is this bracha? What's this bracha? It's in a Gemara. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. What is it? We're... It's a brachas hashavach. You know, we know there's three categories of brachos. There's a bracha we recite before we do mitzvos. Before almost every mitzvah we perform, there are notable exceptions. Tzedakah and gemilas chasadim and nichum aveilim. But just about all mitzvos, we recite a bracha prior to performing the mitzvah. And then we know there's brachas hanehenin, food and drink. When we benefit from this world, we can't benefit from the world without a bracha. And then there's brachos of shavach v'hodah. We praise, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is this bracha? What is it? So I want to discuss what is this bracha. Now, everyone says this bracha? Yeah? Everyone here says a bracha? It's a lot of people who don't say this bracha.
You said you weren't
going to
ask.
I wasn't going to ask. No, you're asking for a friend. Your spouse, I know. So, a lot of people don't make the bracha. And in fact, if you take a look, we skip the next source, in source number 3, it's on page 4. Rav Sternbach, or Moshe Sternbach, who is alive today in Yerushalayim, he has a whole tshuva response on the matter. She'ela ha'im yesh makom lahakel b'berchas hamapil. Is there room to be lenient on berchas hamapil? Lenient doesn't mean wait 3 hours instead of 6 hours, say half of it. Lenient means not say it. Is there room not to say it? It's a bracha. So if Shurmach says, it's in a Gemara, and it's in a Shulchan Aruch. So I don't understand. Why are there people, or why are you asking me, can we not say Asher Yatsar? Or can we not daven? It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. So what's the question? So Rav Sternbach has a couple of ideas. If you take a look at the second line, he says, V'lo ra'isi makam lahakel b'bracha. I don't see a place to be leaned on the bracha. He says there's some Kabbalists who say you don't make the bracha if you go to sleep after chatzos. So a lot of people are going to sleep after chatzos. Maybe you don't have to make a bracha. He says, I don't know, you're going to get rid of a halacha because of Kabbalah? You can't get rid of a halacha because of Kabbalah. Then he says that chaside bells and brisk don't recite the bracha. Why not? Why don't they recite the bracha? The briskers are machmir and machpin on every single halacha. They're stringent, they're particular. So why would they not say the bracha? So if you take a look on the sixth line, the fifth line, sorry, the end, nope, strike two, the end of the fourth line, it's underlined, v'shamati, shechaside bells, lo mevarchin. I heard that the chasidim from bells don't make the bracha. V'gam bebrisk lo nagu. And the briskers don't say the bracha. Rabbi Einzig, you could ask your son. Two of them. Ukfi sheshamati taimam, and I heard the reason. And I know Rabbi Ginnak, I heard one say that Rabbi Chaim never said a bracha of a mapil, which makes sense. Rabbi Chaim Salvechik. Ukfi sheshamati taimam, shelo tiknu habracha kishaholech lishon. You don't make the bracha when you're going to sleep. Ela kishachavle shena kvar ve'inav. When the bonds of sleep are already in your eyes. And who could make that determination? V'kashyalanu l'kbo hadavar. How do you determine when is or when you've reached chevle shena? Usually, you don't know until you wake up 7 hours later and you realize you fell asleep. Sometimes we fall asleep. You don't know when that moment hits, when the bonds of sleep attacked you, so to speak. In Brisk, you have two other examples of this type of thought process. After the war, the Brisker Rav escaped from Brisk to Vilna, ended up in Eretz Yisrael in the early 1940s, maybe 41, 42. And years later, they'd be walking, you know, there was no phone, there was no email, or there's a phone, but there was no phones like we have today, there was no email, there was no WhatsApp. People didn't know who had made it out. And one time, he was walking the streets of Yerushalayim, and he saw an old, either congregant or an old chaver of his from Brisk. They didn't know that the other person had made it. No one knew. They didn't know who was alive. They saw each other. They embraced. And the person who saw the Brisker Rav said the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim. You know, the halacha is, if you haven't seen a friend in 12 months, sorry, in 30 days, you say HaShachianu. If it's 12 months, it's Baruch Mechaye HaMesim. Most today don't say the bracha, because if you know the person is alive, if you email them, communicate with them, spoken to them, we usually don't make the bracha. But this person made the bracha, and the Brisker Rav was silent. So the person said to the Brisker Rav, you're not happy to see me? So the Brisker Rav says, I am. So he says, why don't you make the bracha? He says, because when the Shulchan Aruch says, if you see your friend and you're happy, you make the bracha, what's the definition of happy? I don't know that. My happiness is on par with what the Shulchan Aruch said is happiness. Everything was a halachic category and a definition. Who defines simcha? Maybe my level. This is the everything's a halachic definition. There's a ged there. Who says there's simcha? Similarly, when the Brisker Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, he did not kiss the ground. Now people think it's shtick when you get off the plane and you kiss the ground. It's a gemara. The gemara at the end of Ksuvis. My first year in the shul on Shavuos, I spoke about kissing mitzvos. The Gemara at the end of the Ksuva says that Rabbi Abba was Menashe Kipe de Akko. When Rabbi Abba came to Eretz Yisrael, he kissed the stones of Akko. And the Rambam brings us down with halacha. So the Brisker Rav came, and he didn't kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So they thought maybe because it was a political, a hashkafa, an anti-Zionist. They didn't know. They asked him, what's going on? So he says, when the Rambam brings the halacha, the Rambam says, Gedolei HaChachamim. The Gedolei HaChachamim, the great scholars, would kiss the ground. He said, who says that that definition means me? So it's the same type of svara. The halach is not when you go to sleep. It's when Hamapil Chevlei Shena, when the bonds of sleep are already in your eyes. So I don't know. I don't know when that is. Says Rav Sternbach, come on. He says, the post can never say such a thing. We don't have that. He says, furthermore, then have a halacha again in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch should have said, since no one, who would never know? Nothing changed in how sleep happens to a person. So if Sternbach says, I don't understand, it's chashash, you might not fall asleep, you might not reach the level where sleep is yet in your eyes. He says, I don't understand. He says, the only rationale I can think of is that they're so busy with thinking and learning when they're going to sleep, that like they know they're not going to be able to fall asleep because learning is so much on their mind. And maybe that explains what all the people here who don't recite the bracha. It doesn't work for me, unfortunately. So Rav Sternbach says, I don't. No, not a half second. They knew they weren't. They didn't think they'd be able to fall asleep. We're going to get this. If you know you're not going to go to, you know you can't fall asleep, should you be reciting the bracha? We'll get to that in a minute.
But from where are they getting from? It's only when the chevlei of sleep are upon you. It doesn't say it. Look at the text of the bracha. It says, give me a good sleep. And that's it.
Hamapil chevlei sheina alenai. The God who casts the bonds of sleep upon my eyes.
Yeah, okay. Like in 20 minutes from now. It doesn't mean like two
okay, good. So this is Rav Sternbach's argument. Yes.
You seem to be skirting the issue of you're not supposed to talk if you say
no. Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. So that's why there are plenty of people who don't recite the bracha. And Rav Sternbach says that all those svaras don't really work. So he says we should be reciting the bracha. But this issue of you might not be able to fall asleep leads us to what's the nature of this bracha. There's two other tshuvas of Rav Sternbach. He's very busy with this halacha, that highlight this point. He asks, is there a problem saying the bracha in one room and going to sleep in another room? We know that in many instances, there's an issue called shinui makom. If you change the place that you're in, it could be the bracha or the mitzvah doesn't transfer. For example, if you eat, now this is, we could spend 4 hours talking to the halachos. If you have your poppers here, and then you still have a plate left, half a plate left, and you bring them home, when you get home, everyone will say you have to make a new bracha. Even though it's the same plate of poppers. You've left your area. Shinui makom. That's an extreme case because that's house to house. Room to room is a machlokes, is a question. For Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about chewing gum because you're moving, a bag of potato chips on the ride, drinking while you're driving. Not that kind of drinking while you're driving. He doesn't have a tshuva on that. That's pretty pasha. You should not do. But does shinui makom, same thing with Kiddush. Kiddush b'makom suda. Does it work what we do in shul to make Kiddush upstairs and come downstairs? In fact, I have a very dear friend, Ellie Felder. Ellie Felder's father was Rav Aaron Felder. We have some of his svarim upstairs. He passed away, David's Rav, passed away 6 years ago now. He was a Talmud Muvak over Moshe Feinstein. He was the first one to write English svarim in halacha before Art Scroll. He had a sefer on Avelis, which we have upstairs. It's a very popular sefer on Avelis. He came here for a Shabbos. And he, Rabbi Luban, Shlita, made Kiddush like he does every Shabbos. And then we came down for the Kiddush. And he wrote Rabbi Luban a letter saying he thinks it's wrong in halacha. And Rabbi Luban wrote back a whole letter. Back and forth. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Felder printed it in his Shilas and Shuvos Sefer. Rabbi Luban, I don't want to say was upset, because I don't think he's ever gotten upset in his life, but he commented that Rabbi Felder only put in his letter, Luban, but he didn't print the letter Luban wrote back to him. But there was a back and forth discussion. You're making Kiddush in one room and eating in another room. Does that work if you have in mind? Or Luban says, I have in mind. Does that work? The people don't have mind. They do have in mind. The point is, there's an issue called shinui makom, changing the place. Maybe the bracha doesn't work. So asks Rav Sternbach, can you say your hamapil in one room and then go in the other room to go to sleep? Perhaps the lights are off. You don't want to wake anyone up, but you don't know the bracha by heart. Or you're getting on whatever. You want to make the bracha more. Is that good? So Rav Sternbach says, yes, it's good. What is this bracha? If you take a look at the top of page 5, he says, umisvara, it's the third line. Umisvara nira, and logic, I could say, shalom atzinu din shinui makom. We don't find this halacha, this permutation, this limitation of shinui makom, ela bebirchas hananin, o mitzvos. That's only true in a bracha on hana, or on a mitzvah. So to go from one room to the other, excuse me, maybe it doesn't work. Aval bebirchas hoda, but a bracha of hoda, there's no problem. There's no issue. You could hear thunder in one room and or see lightning in one room and make a bracha in another room. If it's a hodah, a bracha of thanks, of praise, there's no problem of shinui makom. So you see from Sternbach already, what's this bracha? It's a bracha of praise. Praise for what? Praise seemingly that there's a concept either I was able to sleep, that God created the concept of sleep, but it's a bracha of hodah. Because of this, poskim say, even if you can't fall asleep at all, you can still recite the bracha, because the bracha is not on your personal ability to sleep. It's that God created the concept of sleep. If you take a look in source 7, is an Eli Rabba, which he's answering an amazing question. Tosos and Brachos asks, And it's a little bit halachic now. I apologize. I don't apologize. It is what it is. Tosas and Brachos asks, why don't we eat in the sukkah? We make a leishev a sukkah. But when you sleep in the sukkah, you don't make a bracha of sleeping in the sukkah. Why is that? Tosas says, because you might not fall asleep. What are you going to do? It's uncomfortable in the sukkah. Or you just, you know, you have a lot on your mind. So you're going to... Achila, you know you're going to put the food in your mouth after you make the bracha. But sleeping, maybe you won't fall asleep. So Tosa says that's one of the reasons. He has other reasons. That's one of the reasons there's no bracha. Asher kiddushan of mitzvah sav v'tzivanu leishen or lishan, lishon basukha.
Even if you know you're going to fall asleep.
Even if you know, because you might not fall asleep.
You popped
a couple pills. What? Huh?
Take your melatonin, you lie down, yeah, okay.
So I would say, since sleep is something that most people can't control, there's no bracha on, yeah. Even if you're different, that's Tosos. So what about, how can you say a mafil? Maybe you don't fall asleep. So says the Eli Rabin, source 7, V.A. Shlomo in the second line, the birchas hamafil hu al teva shena, on the nature of sleep. She efshar shlo yishan. You're gonna fall asleep. That's his first answer. If you're uncomfortable, you might fall asleep. V'od yesh lomar, shamapil hu, al minhago shalolam. It's on the concept. It's not on your personal sleep. It's on the concept of sleep. The concept of sleep that God put into this world is incredible. It's so helpful for us. It's a bracha. It's not a klala. So we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, even if you won't be able to fall asleep. It doesn't take away the fact that sleep is good in the world. The Meir uses the same svara to say why take a nap during the day, you don't recite the bracha. Because the minhag olam, not minhag in the minhag sense, the normal way of the world is people sleep at night. So the concept of sleep, we're saying a bracha. The Chavetz Chaim doesn't like this because the bracha is actually in singular, not plural. Right? Hamapel cheloshen al enai. Ushnuma alaf apai. Normally, in some brachas, take tefillah sederach, it's in plural. This bracha is in singular, so hard to suggest that a bracha is going on the concept of sleep as a whole and not on the individual. But that's one approach. It's a bracha of thanks. We're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for creating the concept of sleep. What would sleep, what would our life look like if we didn't have sleep? And we'll come back to this in a minute. However, if you flip the page over, there's a whole other approach to Mefarshim. I think this is unbelievable. The Chai Adam on the top of page 6 writes, Hayashen Bayom Ein Tzarech Levarech Bracha Zu. Someone who sleeps during the day does not need to recite this bracha. Af Agav Shenire Shehi Birchas Hanenin. Whoa. Even though it's a bracha on hana. What's a bracha on hana? Like food. We all recited a bracha tonight before we smell basamim. When our body has benefit, we recite a bracha. Still, you don't make a bracha during the day because you might not sleep, but at night you're going to sleep. But says the Chai Adam that this bracha is like a birchas hananin. It's not a real birchas hananin, because a real birchas hananin is only when the benefit enters into your body. You take a hot shower on a cold day, you don't make a bracha on that hana, even though there's hana. So it's not a real birchas hanan, but it's similar to a birchas hanan. There were shonim who say this as well. I saw a quote in the Sefer from the Hari Basan, who was a rishon. I found the Sefer online, but I couldn't find this in the siman that he quoted. He says it's a bracha on hana. There is hana of sleep, and that hana we're reciting a bracha on, either bracha of thanks, it could be a bracha of thanks, which is similar to Todah, but it's not on the concept of sleep, it's on the benefit we get from sleep. And I want to take the last couple minutes understanding what that benefit is. I think there are three approaches in terms of what sleep is for us in this world. Why did God create sleep? He could have created us and fashioned us in a way where we don't need sleep. Why is there sleep? And I think there's three approaches. The first one is on a practical approach, and it's based on a medrash. The pasuk says in source 12, it's the pasuk in Chumash, we all know that on the sixth day of creation, what changes? V'hinei tov mode. The first 5 days, Vayara Shavaro Kemus Kol Asher Asah, Vihine Tov, or in some variation of that pasuk. On the 6th day of creation, Tov mode. What's Tov mode?
Very good.
Very good. Okay. Very good. What's very good? So the Medrash has a couple of pshatim which are wild. The first pshat is, well, it's not the first pshat. The first pshat is what I'm going to tell you last. The second pshat, the first one on the source, is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is Tov mode. Why is the Yetzer Hara Tov mode? Because if we didn't have the Yetzer Hara, a person wouldn't want to have kids and get married and build a house. The Yetzer Hara drives us in a positive way sometimes. Yetzer Hara is good. Yisur and punishment is good. It could drive a person to mend their ways if there was no schar v'onesh, if there was no pain. Suffering can be viewed in a positive way. One opinion of the Gemara says Gehenim is a good thing. We have something to live for, something to push, something to drive us. And then, the first answer, if you take a look at the bottom of page 6, Amar Shimon ben Elazar, Hinei Tov Mod, V'hinei Tova Shena, referring to sleep. V'chi Shena Tova Mod, is sleep really good? Atuma, it's a wonder. Lo Kein Tanina, that's not what we have. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yayin V'shena L'Rishayim Nalehem V'nal Olam, Yayin and sleep are good for the Rishayim, are bad for the Tzaddikim. So how can you tell me that sleep is good? So says the Medrash, El Mitoch Sh'adam Yashin Kima, who omid the Ageya B'Torah Harbe. Sleep allows us to be productive. The rest, the relaxation, the break, to have a refreshing, rejuvenation of our koch, of our strength, that is good. That becomes good. Sleep is very powerful for us because it allows us to be successful. And the Rambam famously in Source 15, on page 7, says the same thing. The Rambam talks about sleep and how important it is for a person to be healthy and to be rested and to be strong. And the Rambam says that if a person sleeps for that person purpose, it's avoda l'makom baruch hu. It actually is avodas Hashem. The sleep is no different even than our learning. And there's an amazing insight that Ksav Sofer, which you have to hear. Yaakov Avinu, we know at the beginning of Ayetze, he goes to sleep. Right? The rocks, the stones, they form the pillow. He wakes up, and what happens? Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. He wakes up from his sleep and he says, oh, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. There is God in this place I did not know. So is that true that he did not know? Why did Yaakov come here? Why did Yaakov travel where he was? What? He wanted to go daven. Right? Efshur shavarti amakum shispalu avosai v'lo hispalalti bo. Is it possible I could go to a place where my forefathers daven and I not daven? So I don't understand. So when he woke up, why did he say, now I know there's Hashem here? He knew there was Hashem. That's why he went. So the Ksav Sofer says, unbelievable. What Yaakov was saying, I did not realize that sleep could be part of my service of Hashem. I didn't realize. I thought you sleep because we have human instincts. Right? We have the basic human necessities. You have to go to the bed. There's a lot of things we have to do. I have to sleep. When I went to sleep and I had that dream and I realized that Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, even in a place of sleep, that could be considered service of Hashem if that gives us a certain koch. Now, the problem with this insight is, again, Hashem didn't need to create us like that. Hashem could have created our bodies in a way that we didn't really sleep. So what is this great hana, or the great hodah to Hashem for the sleep? So if you take a look at Source 18, the Mishnah Brura has a very interesting comment. It's like a musr in the middle of a halachic sefer. It says the Mishnah Brura, Kasva svarim, shebalayla, kodem shena, nachon l'adam sheyefash pesh, before a person goes to sleep, they should think about what they did that day. If a person finds that they did an avera, he should repent. He should A person should accept it upon themselves not to do that avera. It's a time to stop and think. And he goes at the end of the next line, Gam ra'oi limchol l'chol mi shechata kenegdo. V'tziaro. A person who hurt you, who sinned against you, who bothered you, upset you, made you angry, before you go to sleep, we should be mochalem. Unbelievable. What a way to go to bed. Why do this? Why before you go to sleep? So I believe it's based on the Zohar. The Zohar, in the next source, this is the parish of the Sulam on the Zohar, which is the Talmud of the Arizal of Shlag, Ashlag. He tells us this idea that b'shah shadam ola al amita v'yashin, when a person goes to bed and goes to sleep, kol laila v'laila yotzeis nishmasa mimenu. Our neshama leaves our body. And what happens when our neshama leaves our body? It's not just for a car wash, so to speak. V'nidonis lifnei beis dino shel ha-melech. There's a din. Like Yom Kippur, like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Every night, our neshama leaves our body. That's Elokai neshama shenasat to be tohori. That's why you wash on Tilas Adayim. One of the reasons we're like a Birya Chadasha, a new person. There's a din. Im zoche lehishar b'chayim. If we're zoche to live, to stay alive in this world, huchzera ha-neshama lo mazeh. Hashem gives us back our neshama. Sleep is not just to allow us to refresh. Sometimes, you know, machinery, you have to turn off for a little bit. Otherwise, it runs its course. You have to let it rest. It's not just that. It's Hashem giving us almost a daily reminder for the ultimate din, which we're all going to face. Lacher Mev Eshem Shana Be'ezus Hashem. There's going to be that ultimate din. So it doesn't mean we should go to sleep worried, oh my God, maybe I'm not going to wait. That's not the pshat. But our neshama is going to, there's going to be a din. So let's do vidui. That doesn't mean we have to clap al chetz and it could be a depressing way to go to sleep. But how was my day? What did I do right? What didn't I do right? Who wronged me? Let me be mochel them. Because ultimately, that's what we do in Yom Kippur, in the Tefillah Zakah. We're mochel anyone who pained me. So it's a mini Yom HaDin. And that's a very powerful insight into sleep. It's not, God didn't need to make sleep. He could have had our bodies functioning at full energy, full capacity, 24/7. He wants us to experience a mini Misa. I think it's a very powerful thing, which is what drove the Mishnah Berurah to say what he said. That's insight number two in sleep. But there's a third hashkafa to sleep, which I found amazing. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says it, but in the English quote I saw in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think says it so beautifully. If you take a look at source 22, the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains this is so powerful. If we didn't sleep, there would be no tomorrow. Life would be a single seamless today. Our every thought and deed would be an outgrowth of all our previous thoughts and deeds. There would be no new beginnings in our lives. For the very concept of a new beginning would be alien to us. Sleep means that we have the capacity to not only improve, but also transcend ourselves. To open a new chapter in life that is neither predicted nor enabled by what we did and we're up to until now. To free ourselves of yesterday's constraints and build a new, recreated self. It's unbelievable. Sleep is, in the words of Reb Tzadok, our own Maisa Bereishis. HaMechadish B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamin Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates the world every day. Says Reb Tzadok, V'gam Ha'adam Mechlal Maisa Bereishis. We're included in that creation of the world. Every day we get to experience that sense of Eschadshus. And that's incredible, because when we go to sleep, we know, you know what? Tomorrow, that doesn't mean today's problems aren't going to have to be addressed tomorrow. It's not that we wake up and there's no issues. But if we didn't have that capacity to, okay, it's a new day, it's a new start, I'm going to wake up, put my feet on the ground, and try again. There'll be new opportunities. I'll try to fix what I did yesterday. I'll try to get past what I did yesterday. It's the ability. Sleep is the ability Not just to thank Hashem for our bodies, not just the mini Yom HaDin, but it's the ability to have a sense of Eschadshus, HaMechadish B'tuvo, B'chol Yom, Tamid Maisa Bereshis. If we didn't sleep, there would be no tomorrow. We always have the tomorrow to look forward to. And that might be the Hana that the Chai Adam is talking about. It's not just a physical Hana of sleep, because we don't really have Hana from sleeping. The Hana is from waking up. In fact, when I was in Yeshiva, there was a guy, I'm not going to say who he is, some people might know him. He used to set his alarm for 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Why?
Because he knew he has
to. What's the geschmack of going to sleep? It's when you're going to sleep. When you're sleeping, there's no hana. So he would wake him at 2 o'clock and be like, oh, I get to go back to... It's like Shabbos afternoon, right? Shabbos afternoon, it's a little bit chilly in the room. That feeling, you get under the covers and, right? You had a little chalant, maybe a couple of chaims. When you get into that bed and have that sleep, that's the geschmack of sleep. So, but you're sleeping, you don't feel that. So he set his alarm for 2 o'clock. He'd wake up. He'd look at his alarm clock. Be like, I get to go back to sleep now. And he'd have, yeah, he's a meshuggah. I think it's a meshuggah. That's why he never learned. He was always tired. So, but there's, it's not just the hana. I don't think that's what the Chai Adam means. I don't think that's the hana. I think the hana is this. Is this notion. Hana that we have, and this is a little bit of what Shabbos is to a degree, but every day we have the opportunity to get, it's not closing the chapter completely, but to close the chapter, tomorrow's a new day. Whatever happened, we can tell this to our children also. It's beautiful. You go to sleep, we've probably done this a lot. You have a tough day, you go to sleep on it, I'm going to go to sleep, we'll tackle it again the next day. Otherwise, there would be no start, finish opportunity. That could be the hodah, the thanks as well. Not just, I think it's a little bit small-minded to only focus on this, not that the Rambam is small-minded, but to only focus on, okay, I'll be alive tomorrow. I'll be fresh tomorrow. My mind will work better. It's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than that. There's also a lot of Kabbalah, which is not for tonight, but even on a pshat level. And that's a great bracha to say. Because if we're going to experience that value, that benefit of sleep, whichever approach we're going to take, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that opportunity of sleep, is such an amazing bracha. Just like we have kavana when we say Asher Yatzer, because if our body stops working the way it should and the way it does most of the time, how difficult would such a life be? And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pokeach Ivrim is such a beautiful bracha. We sleep, which plays such a critical role in our life. We couldn't function. A person can't go 3 days, right? The Gemara says you can't. If you take a nether, that you're not going to sleep for 3 days. The nether is not chal, because you can't. So when we get into bed and we say that bracha, again, in the room, in a different room, the Chazan Ish, I skipped this source, says you can't say Asher Yatzar after Amapil. And Rav Sturmach says, what are you talking about? You're going to be Mevata. You're not supposed to have a hefsek. You're not supposed to talk, that's for sure. It should be the last thing you do. But it's not going to override the bracha of Asher Yatzar. So we should say the bracha. We should try not to be mafsik. We don't have to be a brisker. Where maybe I'm not sleeping yet. Maybe I'm not going to fall asleep. Maybe I'm not going to fall asleep. Maybe that's not the gather of sleep. That's not the mapil chavli shena. We get into bed. Before we get into bed, when we're done talking for the night, to stop and not just to say the bracha, but to think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for creating this notion, because tomorrow is a new day, because I'll be refreshed, because I can think about life and take stock of my actions and to do tshuva. And if we do that, I believe the bracha of Hamapil Chebli Shein Aleinai will take on so much more meaning. It will become really a point of inspiration before we end the day, and then we can wake up not just refreshed and re-energized, but feeling much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you all for attending. We will daven Ma'ariv in 2 minutes.
Sorry.